You probably have heard this before and remember that 40 is a number in the Bible that means testing. 40 days in the wilderness, or 40 years in the wilderness of Israel, wandering, waiting to get to the promised land. 40 days of temptation for Jesus in a wilderness, fighting the devil and fasting. 40 days in our season of Lent that we went through earlier this year. In Acts 1, we get the number 40 again, but in a little bit of a different light, or a different kind of testing, I think. It was 40 days, the text says, from the time that Jesus rose from the dead until the day when he ascended on high. It's not a testing like the one in the wilderness of Jesus, or like the wilderness for Israel. Not a testing necessarily when they are going hungry. Remember, instead they had a catch of great fish. Not a testing where they're being tempted constantly by sin and death and the devil towards fleshly pleasure and pride. No, not a testing like that. Not a testing toward worldly fame or power like the devil tempted Jesus. No, instead they were hiding in an upper room for fear of the Jews. But a testing of doubt. The apostles initially doubted that he was risen from the dead. They had to see it with their own eyes. The disciples on the road to Emmaus did not recognize him. The apostles did not believe Mary Magdalene. Thomas did not believe the other apostles. They doubted. A temptation of fear. They were scared about what it meant that he was risen from the dead. About what it meant also that what if he didn't rise from the dead when they had doubted? What it meant that he wouldn't be with them anymore. What it meant when he said he was going to ascend on high. Remember, we spent the last 3 or 4 weeks reading the Gospels from John 15 and 16, Jesus' farewell discourse, where he has to constantly keep comforting the apostles and comforting the disciples about what it's going to be like when he's no longer with them. And so a different kind of temptation. But why wouldn't they be afraid and nervous and scared and a little doubtful in these ways? If you go into Mark's gospel, his account of the ascension, right before he ascends into heaven, and we also heard some of this in Luke as well, and also in Acts, he promises them many things that are going to happen. And when many things are happening, I can see how it would be a little scary. First of all, he says they're going to be baptized, not with water like John's baptism, but baptized with the Holy Spirit from on high. They're going to be clothed in power from on high. And in Mark's gospel specifically, they're going to cast out demons, and they're going to speak in tongues, and they're going to handle serpents, and they'll be able to drink deadly poison and not be sick from it. And they will heal the sick. And by the way, a lot of that happens in Acts, by the way, especially to Paul. You can read about that in the rest of the book of Acts. Some wonderful stories there. But most importantly, of all these things that are going to happen to them and that they're going to go through, he says in verse 8 from the reading in Acts, "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And if I heard all of those things from Jesus before he ascended into heaven, that you will be baptized with power from on high by the Holy Spirit, you will cast out demons, you will speak in tongues, you will handle serpents, you will drink deadly poison, and you will be my witness to the very ends of the earth. I think I would be, one word for it, overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by all the things that Jesus promises. Overwhelmed in those 40 days of Jesus being there, not knowing what's going to happen in the future. If you remember what the apostles tried to do when they did not yet know that he had risen from the dead, or even after they knew he had risen from the dead, they just wanted to go back to their old life. They went back out on the fishing docks, out on the boat, trying to go back to their old careers, maybe like nothing had even happened. But something had happened. Jesus had risen from the dead and he was ascending on high, and that meant that a lot of things were going to change. Their career, for one, but lots more too. And perhaps you have been there. Maybe not always in a place of testing like that of Lent, like that of the wilderness. Maybe you're not always in that place of testing where you're being tempted by fleshly pleasures or tempted by worldly fame or tempted by the sins of this world and your flesh and the devil, but tempted in this way, that your life is just at a time overwhelming. Too many things going on. Maybe you can handle one or two things at a time, but then when that third or fourth or fifth thing gets added on, it is simply, one word for it, overwhelming. Things are happening too fast. I have a propensity for putting myself in overwhelming situations. I live life, someone described me once as living life fast. I have a family. I have a church, maybe even two sometimes. I have a devotional life to keep up with, studies to keep up with. I have lots of hobbies, a hobby farm, sheep, chickens, garden. I also like jiu-jitsu and chess and all sorts of other hobbies. I have a propensity to be overwhelmed sometimes. I can also see it in the churches. Here in this church, just think about the last couple days. We had a wonderful young family's dinner on Friday while the lawn was being mowed. And then on Saturday, yesterday, we had a funeral, sad but also beautiful. And today, Bible study, kids going to urgent care, celebrating the Ascension, anniversary celebrations, all sorts of things going on. A rite of transfer, I forgot about that one. At Oxford today, they're going to have a voters meeting to discuss the future of their church, ministering to college students, considering options for pastoral ministry there, divine service, Bible study, all the rest of it. There's always so many things going on in life, in my life, in the church's life. Also, I'm sure you have been there in your life as well. Demands on your family, demands on your church in the way that you serve and interact with your church. Trying to keep up with your own devotional life, trying to keep up with your jobs. Maybe you even have had more than one sometimes. Trying to keep up with your hobbies, and then at the end of the day, trying to get a little bit of R&R in too. And then you start to mix in those things that happen unexpectedly, the sicknesses, the kids throwing a temper tantrum for no reason at all, apparently, the temptations, the tiredness, and it can become all overwhelming at times. Just too many things too fast. You will handle serpents. You will heal the sick. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witnesses even to the end of the earth. Overwhelming, really? And notice their reaction when these things happen. After Jesus overloads them with this life task that they've been given. Tasks. They are looking on. He was lifted up into a cloud and taken out of their sight, and they were gazing into heaven. And behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? And at first it sounds kind of silly that they are standing there, just looking into the sky after Jesus has ascended. So some pretty clouds up there. But you know what? I've been there. When you are overwhelmed, there's too many things on your plate at one time, and then something else gets added on, and it seems like the plate is just kind of overflowing, and you don't have control of it anymore. What's the one thing that you might want to do? Just sit there. Go lay down in bed and try and forget about it all. Maybe turn on Netflix and just watch something so that you don't have to think. Scroll down the Instagram page, waste a couple hours so that you're not having to deal with all of the tasks that there are to do. But know this, whether it's staring at the blue screen or staring at the clouds as the apostles were doing, it is in God's good providence that He allows you to be overwhelmed. And in fact, the ascension, what Jesus does and what He gives to His people and He gives to His apostles, it's all about Him giving what is best for them. What is best for you. And yes, even in times of being overwhelmed. He was a couple steps ahead of the apostles. There are two things that I want you to see about Christ's ascension today. A logical question would be, why didn't Jesus stick around? He knew His apostles, His disciples, would be overwhelmed with all these things that they had to do. Why didn't He just stick around and help them? I think the answer is pretty simple. He could only be one place at a time when He was in the flesh on this earth. The history of Israel was to bring about Jesus, and at the right time, Jesus came, and He remained for the time He needed to remain. He died and was resurrected in the time He needed to die and be resurrected. But He did not want to just remain with those disciples in that place at that time. He wanted to send His Spirit. He wanted to be with all His people in all times. He wanted to be not just in Jerusalem and not just in Judea, the slightly larger region around Jerusalem, and not just in Samaria, the next region over, but He says, to the ends of the earth, I will go. To the ends of the earth, I will spread my gospel. To the end of time, I will preach what needs to be preached. And to do that, He sends. He ascends to reign, and He sends His apostles to go. Not just the king of one nation at one time. Notice how the apostles were confused about that. They said, oh, Jesus, now you've risen from the dead. Now you can be king over Israel. Now you can restore Israel to its former fame, to the time of David and Solomon. And we can reign while you restore Israel to its glory. He just ignores their question. They're so short-sighted, they don't understand where He's going. But He wants to be the king of all nations. The glory of all nations. The king who will come and judge the nations, as we sung in Psalm 110. And from that throne, from the throne in heaven, He now sends to you His word. He now sends to you from that throne, even 2,000 years later, even all the way from Jerusalem to Olive Branch, Mississippi, His sacraments, His supper, His baptism, His absolution. He gives to you all that you need. And what a comfort that is. That when you are overwhelmed, when there are too many things crowded up on the plate and things are overflowing, that He is with you. He does not leave you or forsake you. But whenever there are 100 things going on, 1,200 things going on, 100,000 things going on in your life, it seems like you can't keep up with them all, that the King of the universe, the King of all nations, the one through whom the whole world and everything in it was created, he is in your heart. And he loves you. And he will guide you. And he will be with you in all things. That in every instance of being overwhelmed, in every instance of everything that you do in life, whether it's with your family, whether it's in your church, whether it's at your job, whether it's even on the jiu-jitsu mats or across the chessboard, in my case, or whatever your hobbies are, in the woodworking shop, wherever you're at the grocery store, in the airplane, wherever it is, he is there too. And the second thing is this. He's coming back again. He did not leave you to leave you forever, but he left you so that in the right time he can also come back to you again. That is what the angels say to the men of Galilee. Why do you stand looking up at the sky? You have a job to do that he's given you. You can put that in there. But he will come back again in the same way he's come up. He will come back again in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. And trust me, you don't need to be looking up at the sky constantly to see if he's coming, because when he comes, the trumpets will sound and he will come in complete and utter glory and you will know it. No matter where you're looking, you will see it. The life of overwhelming nature is only temporary. We are going to a place where everything will be perfectly ordered. We are going to a place, dear saints, where you will never be tempted again to worry about all the tasks, big, large, or small. We are going to a place where Jesus will have accomplished all that he promised. And he is coming back. He is coming to bring us to that place. Just as sure as Christ has risen from the dead, and Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I knew David would catch it. Just as sure as he is risen from the dead, he is coming back again. And that helps you, by the way, in your life of overwhelming nature. It helps you to prioritize things, at least. It helps you to see what really matters. Because you can ask yourself this question, what's going to matter on that day? What's really going to matter on the day when Jesus comes again? It will be my faith. It will be the faith of my family and my loved ones. It will be the faith of my church. And we can enjoy this world as we have the time, but know what matters, that Jesus is coming back. And that plate, when you ask yourself that question, that plate becomes so much more clean and so much more clear. It doesn't have to be overwhelming anymore. You don't have to worry about all of these little tasks or big tasks. Think about the apostles. When they were given all these tasks to do, they didn't know how it was all going to work out. But God provided it for them. Paul probably didn't know how it was going to work out about handling serpents. But then when he was shipwrecked and the serpents were there, oh, there it is. That's how I'm going to handle serpents. God provides the way. He will show you the way. And whenever you get overwhelmed, know this, that he will also show you the way. He will provide for you what you need when you need it, he will be with you, as we said, and he will come back again when the time is right. And finally, those two things together, they should give you confidence for the gospel. Evangelism is something that does not need to be overwhelming. I want to leave you on this note. Remember the most important task, the final task that the apostles were given. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Yes, it sounds overwhelming, but it does not need to be. You are a Christian for whom Christ died, resurrected, and ascended for, and he is with you. He has promised you his Spirit, and so, yes, you are his witness. You are his witness where Christ has put you. In Olive Branch, in South Haven, in Oxford, wherever it is that he has put you, he is there. And you can witness him. You can witness what he has done in your life. You can witness how he orders your life. You can witness how he helps you in the times when you are feeling so overwhelmed. And notice how the apostles do this too. They don't freak out after the angels speak to them, running around trying to accomplish everything that Christ gave them. They simply are in the temple, worshiping and blessing God. God's commands and his promises do not fail. He is with you, as he says, even to the end of the age. He is coming back again. And so be his witnesses and receive his gifts. To him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen.